every home game is vital to Finn Harps. I don't know how much of a hit they'd take with Cork coming on a Tuesday night, because I don't think you'll get a lot of away support travelling up on a Tuesday night. But obviously the home gate would be substantial. Unfortunately, it seems to be a situation that Finn Harps find themselves in at some stage in every season. And, you know, it's something that maybe they need to address with maybe better long-term planning and increased sponsorship. Hopefully by staying in the Premier Division, that will help with that situation, you know.
Yeah, let's look at on-the-pitch activities. 5 defeats in a row now in the league for Harps, but they put it up to Shamrock Rovers for long periods of the game, but they struggled to cope then when they went 1-0 down.
Yeah, look, we spoke about that, I think, last week when I said, really, I was worried about where the next quarter point would come from, and they've got to try and stop the rot in any way they can. And unfortunately, like as you say, you can compete, but once you concede a goal against one of these bigger sides, then obviously you have to try and chase the game, and you're always going to then leave yourself open to concede in a second and maybe more. But look, I think I've said from day one, you know, Harps will have a successful season if they can finish 1 point above that sort of second relegation spot. So that's really what they've got to focus on now. And as Ollie said in his own piece there, is finishing above Wexford Youth, you know.
Yeah, that is the target, to stay above Wexford. And luckily enough for Harps, results have gone in favour for Harps. Elsing to lead 2-1 and then break it in with another goal. What about 20 minutes?
To go there and get a draw. I think Derry are playing well enough. We could have expected to get the 3 points. But look, first season for Kenny, and I'm sure he's delighted. He's shooting way above expectations. And it's a case of now trying to manage their last few games to make sure that they keep that third spot.
Yeah, and they're battling it out with Shamrock Rovers for that third spot. Sean, Rovers currently 42 points. Derry have 44, but Rovers do have 2 games in hand. And of course, Derry have to play Shamrock Rovers this coming week. And Rovers then have a game against St Pat's on Friday. So it's a huge week for the Hoops and another big game for Derry too.
Yeah, it's a massive. And to be honest with you, Shamrock Rovers have been really probably hit and miss all season. And they probably haven't certainly fulfilled the potential that they have in terms of their squad and the quality of squad and size of squad. And I think that's a massive game. You know, it is a really 6-pointer. If Derry can win that game, you know, it pushes that gap to 5 points between the two teams, and it takes out that game in hand, really, and puts everything back in Derry's own hands.
Yeah, and no change at the top, really. Cork and Dundalk, who were on European exploits, they continue to move along nicely at the top of the table, both taking victories over the weekend. Dundalk 1-0 down at Ferry Carrick Park, and Cork City 5-2 against Longford Town. No big surprises there. But moving away from the League of Ireland and on to the Premiership cross channel, we'll just check in actually, Sean, to see how Man City are faring out at the moment. They were leading 2-0 at the break. It's now 2-1 because Antonio's got a goal for West Ham. City leading 2-1 there at the moment at the Etihad with about 18 minutes to go in the tie. But if you look at the standings in the Premier League, much different to the early stages of last year where we had the big surprise package of Leicester at the top. But the top two places at the moment, Chelsea and Manchester United.
Yes, very much. I think this year, you know, Chelsea, Manchester United, Manchester City and Arsenal have all, they've all readjusted to their probably the disappointment from last year. Certainly Manchester United, I think, and Chelsea have made a great start. And, you know, it looks like they're going to be there or thereabouts come the end of the season.
Yeah. And, of course, both under new management as well, and both proving over the course of the last number of weeks that they seem to be the man for the right job, rather.
Yeah, it's amazing, you know, when you look at Jose Mourinho. He's come into Manchester United. Okay, he's added one or two players, and certainly quality players, but, you know, the likes of Danny Blind is certainly starting to fulfil and play to his potential. So he's had a massive effect there on the squad. There seems to be a real good goodwill factor. I think the other night, you know, they really won their win, but I think they really kept going, and, you know, it was an important win. And then you look at Chelsea, you know, last year it just, whatever happened, it fell apart. It didn't seem to work. And then you've got Conte coming in, and he's had another galvanising effect down there. So it's amazing at times, you know, sometimes you have to look and maybe question these players' attitudes and just wonder what happens within a club's environment to sort of to give Chelsea's poor run of form last year. And then suddenly a new man comes in and things are different. And just likewise at Manchester United. So it's important. I think I said a couple of weeks ago when we spoke, I really do think Mourinho's going to have a massive effect at United. I think he's got a point to prove. I think he's hurt from his experience at Chelsea, and he'll want to you know, justify Manchester United coming and giving him that job. So I really think they're going to be hard to beat. I think Ibrahimovic has started off really, really well, and then he's got people like Rashford and some of these other younger players coming in as well. So, you know, they're looking really, really strong.
You mentioned the Mourinho effect. What about the Klopp effect? Liverpool couldn't take the points yesterday at White Hart Lane, leading by a goal to nil at half-time, and then Spurs getting back into it. Are you surprised by Liverpool's start to the season that they haven't been better?
No, I think, you know, Klopp has certainly, he's got that enthusiasm. He's got them pressing high. They're trying to win the ball back high up the park and get at teams that way. But I still think defensively Liverpool are prone to mistakes, and I think his job, you know, if he can get them in the top four, I think that'll be a tremendous job. I think that's a longer project and a longer turnaround than the likes of Chelsea or Manchester United, you know. And I think Liverpool were a bit behind those two teams last year, and you know, that gap that they have to close is still a bit big.
What about Arsenal eventually getting a win yesterday in the league, beating Watford, and of course the supporters not happy with the current situation of bringing players into Arsenal, and they're looking for an improvement in the personnel front, but they've got that one. They'll look now to build on this, so they will show.
Well, Arsenal, you know, this is what they've done every year. They, you know, there's a lack of investment or what the fans would consider a serious investment. I know they're looking at Mustafi and some of these other players, but Arsene Wenger treats the money that he spends very much like his own, and that's the way he's going to operate. I think Arsenal will do as they've done over the last 4 or 5 years, and flatter to deceive, and at times look almost imperious, and then other times you'll think, is that the same team? Not a lot's going to change there, and I think eventually the only change that's going to happen there is when Arsene Wenger's going to leave. Well, it's a different approach, and then sometimes you're going to sit back and think, you know, you have to be careful what you wish for, because although they haven't won the league, you know, they're continually top four, they're continually Champions League, you know, what would happen when he goes? That's going to be a massive position, and I'm sure it's something that they're considering as a football club, because, you know, is there a succession plan in place to fulfil the void when Arsene Wenger goes? Will Arsene Wenger remain upstairs as a director of football and oversee the football developments? You know, I think you look at Arsenal now, his fingerprints are over every part of that football club, you know.
Just on, you mentioned transfers there, just finally, Sean, one notable transfer this week from a North West point of view, big Shane Duffy's on the move. He played for Brighton and Hove Albion yesterday, not in the right end of the result, losing 2-0 to Newcastle, but is that a good move by Duffy, leaving Blackburn and going to Brighton?
Well, look, listen, I'd spoken to a contact that I had during the week at Blackburn, and I knew about sort of 10 days ago that move was very much in the offing, and I think it's a move that couldn't come quick enough for both Blackburn and for Shane Duffy, because I think he obviously wanted the move. It was affecting his form. It was affecting the Blackburn team. And I think Shane's move to a club that are going to be at the right end of the championship. You know, Blackburn's a club in turmoil, really, in terms of, you know, the owners. There's a serious lack of investment there. You know, you've got to only look at Malcolm Mackay walking out in that job before the end of the season. I think he's probably seen what's coming. Owen Coyle has taken on a massive job there and really rebuilding, and they're going to be in a dogfight all year, I think, to stay in the championship. So Brighton, under Chris Hughton, have, you know, probably unlucky not to maybe get promotion last year. So I think for Shane, it's a right move, and he's going to a club that's in a positive frame of mind. I just hope that he quickly gets himself into that frame of mind as well, because there's no doubt about it, over the last week or two, his mind has been elsewhere rather than on his game.